Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Welcome to Project Zion. I'm your host today, Karen Peter. And with me today is Anne Bonifin from Sydney, Australia. Anne has a degree in fine arts, a master's in communication with an emphasis on design, and she serves on the editorial team and as the design lead for the Australia Herald. The Australia Herald, for those who are unfamiliar, is an international magazine of Community of Christ. So we're just so grateful she's here. Welcome, Anne.
Oh, thank you, Karen. Lovely to be with you.
So let's just take a minute and you can share a little bit of your background. So what should our Project Zion listeners know about you?
Oh, gosh. Art is a big part of my life and has always been something that I just receive a lot of joy from. I lost my husband 2 years ago and that's... going through the grieving process has taught me a lot about life and appreciation of being in the now and just the sanctity of life, I guess. I have three lovely children and four grandchildren and one more on the way.
Marvelous. So,
yeah.
Well, you mentioned that you love art and that that has been a big part of your life and what sustains you. And you and I were able to have some conversations last year about art and spirituality, which led us to do this episode. So I'm very excited about it and kind of want to jump right in. So my first question that I really would like you to articulate a response for our listeners would be, why art and spirituality, and especially like why now? Why are people looking at this now or connecting these things? And I guess the way the vernacular would be, is this a thing? Is art and spirituality, is this the new thing? What is the link?
Well, yes, I think art is like the new wineskin, I think, in terms of spirituality. And we seem to have gone back to some of those older practices of, the importance of ritual and the importance of the visual in expressing and finding expression of symbols and metaphors. So I think art and also kind of discovering the spiritual in the everyday. So art has a way of exploring those things and helps us journey along that process of discovering deeper truths that are within us. So I think there is a bit more of a movement to sort of allow people to discover their own inner wisdom rather than having somebody come and tell them what they should be believing in. But it's about, as a community, discovering that inner wisdom that we all have within us. So I think art speaks to that and connects with spirituality. They're sort of intertwined in that way.
So you have been engaged in a program of study around this topic of art and spirituality. Can you talk a little bit or describe that program to us?
Yeah, it's a little different than other art therapy programs. It's called Transpersonal Art Therapy and Counseling. And I've been studying that for 2 years. So I'll finish in May. And then I have to do some placements, which I may do online. And the word transpersonal isn't a word that perhaps many people understand, but it means sort of anything outside of our egos. So it involves the connection to spirit. Involves the connection to, mind-body type practices. But it's really very much about self-awareness and discovering deep listening in your own life, listening to your own life and discovering your own inner wisdom. We use our cognitive brain a lot to try and make sense of life. But we forget to engage those other parts of us, the spirit and the body and even our environment. and sometimes it's difficult to solve a problem using the same pattern of thinking that created the problem. And so using art as a way of engaging our imagination and bringing in metaphor and symbolic meaning, we can create something different for ourselves. So a transpersonal art therapist uses those things, the use of imagination and myth and symbols. They're really powerful tools to help us to connect to our own spirituality. You know, think about music, you know. Think about how it touches our soul beyond the word. You know, how we can connect to God through music and how our spirits connect with God and the divine in that process. That's what as a transpersonal art therapist, we try to use those things to enlist a deeper response to life, I guess. So I was very interested when I found out that scientists say we use symbols to think. So that's why it's often difficult to express what we really want to say, because our mind is thinking in symbols all the time. And words are sometimes a very poor way of expressing what's really going on in our brains. And Jung believed that our symbolic pictorial way of knowing comes before our rational thought. So using our imagination to make sense of ourselves, of our spirit and connection to spirit is a really powerful way of and a powerful path to spirit. So the idea of using storytelling or drawing or movement or poetry or meditation or colour and symbol helps us access deeper ways of understanding meaning and creating meaning in our life.
And perhaps from what you said about what Carl Jung said, a more original way of understanding meaning.
Yes.
That came before words.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as you're sharing some of this, I'm trying to make some connection for people. So I grew up at a time in the church where the only real art involved with the spiritual or the religious expression of the people would have been the worship center at church, or maybe a picture of Jesus when you walked in.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing you say is if you take those principles of why there was a worship center, symbol, mm-hmm. color, mm-hmm. Meaning,
yes,
to connect us, and many of us have experienced that through color. You're extrapolating on that and saying you can use those same principles then in your spiritual formation.
Yes.
Okay.
You can create your own personal space, sacred space. It doesn't just mean lighting a candle. It could mean going and picking some flowers around you, or just taking time and being intentional about life. You know, the Japanese, I recently went to Japan, and somebody said to me, you know, to the Japanese, life is art and art is life. And that had a profound impact on myself just in the last few months. Of being intentional about that, and I've created a little space. It's like a welcoming table at the front of my house, which reminds me to be present and intentional in my day. And every week, I just change it a little bit. You know, it's I might have some flowers there, or it might have a little book with some artwork in it. Might have a little meditation bell. Just a piece of nature. It's really, you know, interesting to find that in your own life, you know, to find that meaning in your own life, not just those things become symbols, become ways to connect to the spirit in the everyday. And I think that's how our expression of faith is changing. You know, we really recognize it's a faith journey. It's connecting. Our worship is our life. You know, I think that's where perhaps religions are reawakening that idea that your life is your worship, and connecting to that using symbol and metaphor is a very powerful way to journey.
So when you talk about these connecting points, you've mentioned several times symbol and metaphor. So for the person who this is the first time they're really listening to anything about art and spirituality, about how they're intertwined, what might be some connecting points for them to kind of think about between art and spirituality? So if you're new to the whole idea of this.
Well, it's about connecting to our spirit's experiencing creation. So it's about bringing awareness to the spirit and the flow of that in our life. So art is a way that connects us to spirit in that, I think of spirit as the relationship between things, you know, the kind of the glue that holds everything together. And in that way, art merely tries to bring that to form in that we can hold for a while. So, for instance, it's like our hands trying to hold water. It's an imperfect vessel, and art isn't a perfect vessel, but we can hold that for a while before water can't be contained in our hands, you know, and words can never describe God, or art can never really describe the divine. So art is an imperfect vessel, but it's sort of becomes a tool to help us take us deeper. It points to something. So art is really only a way of pointing to something. I don't know if that's too.
No, I appreciate that art is a tool to do that. Yeah. So when we talk about in the Christian tradition, there are spiritual practices which are tools that help people connect to the divine as they understand it. There are ones that have been established and practiced for centuries. And then there's a school of thought that we can explore and adapt and define and create spiritual practices on our own as we go forward. So is it the same for art and spirituality? Are there established set practices that one can do to engage in art and as a spiritual practice? Or is it pretty much an individual thing where each person determines that on their own?
Look, but it's both, really. So, you know, think back to something that you love doing that's creative. Could be dancing or gardening or cooking or writing. You know, it's going to be a different thing for every person. When we work as art therapists, we will use things that are available to us, like crayons or collage or painting, or we might even use dance, we might use meditation to bring it to a space. But within that, there can be different reactions. Different media can create a different reaction in different people. People have different emotional responses. So somebody may have a really negative response to drawing, and but as an art therapist, we would start with that. What is that about? You know, we would explore that. We would follow that and follow that to our spirits, to our sense of, you know, we would maybe journal about that. And within that becomes a sense of kind of maybe bringing something to light so it can heal. So art is about creating visual, so that you could bring it to light, so you can dialogue with it. So sometimes, you know, as an art therapist, then we might be dealing with somebody who may have, you know, some sort of issue, and they may need to process something. And if we can put it down on paper, we can dialogue with it, and it becomes something separate from us. And sometimes using crayon to express something can be a surprising thing can happen in the process.
So I remember facilitating a class a long time ago with a group of people I didn't know very well, and there were some senior people there, and one was a farmer, been a farmer all his life, a senior citizen. And I remember having a bunch of markers and crayons and those kinds of things. And I asked the question, if you were going to draw how open and welcoming your congregation is, what would it look like? Yeah. And this man that in my mind I thought had probably never picked up a crayon, he picked up pink and yellow fluorescent markers. And he just covered his paper in pink and fluorescent pink and yellow. And I remember being so surprised by that. It was so different than my expectation of what that was going to be. Yeah. So your describing that made that memory come forward.
Yeah. And really, as a, you know, the process of an art therapist is to sort of unpack that and say, what surprised you about that? What does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. Not really what it meant to you, but what mm-hmm. did it mean to him?
To the individual, yes.
What was about, yeah, so that's what we're really taught a lot, which is, you know, people talk about symbols and there's a lot of New Age stuff around and out there about, you know, the meaning of archetypes and all sorts of things. But really, it's about what meaning does it have for you? You know, if I see a snake at my door, that might have a totally different meaning for me as an Indigenous person, you know, or if I was an Indigenous person, which I'm not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me, I might be totally afraid of it. But for an Indigenous person, that may have a totally different. And so really, and that comes back to interpretation of even dreams, you know. Really, people have to explore that for themselves and the symbolism for themselves. So, you know, finding metaphor in your life, you know, helps us make meaning of our own lives. I think, you know, but when I speak of art, when I think about art, it's about that creative expression. It's not actually about the artwork itself. And mm-hmm. a lot of people think that that's what art therapy or art is about. And I've been much more interested in that process that comes, you know, the process of the art, the expression of that. It's sort of what's the creative energy that it's carrying? What's the meaning behind it? That's what really gets me excited about things, because when you think about it, Christ used so many symbols, you know, living water, the bread of life, you know, seeds, the vine growing. Those sorts of things. And I think it's kind of interesting that we've created churches, you know, maybe the first churches were the sitting in groves and looking out at lakes, and we just create these four square walls and sort of shut ourselves off from, you know, that kind of creative expression. So the arts is a way to use the imagination to tap into that natural sense that we have of experiencing the world. So, you know, if you imagine somebody just sit by some water, and what does the water look like, and what is that, how do you feel about that, you know, what is it making you feel? I 2 days ago I took my son, my son and I and my granddaughter were practicing social distancing. So we took two cars to the national park, and I took Joshua to a place that I'd never taken him before, but Peter and I used to go there quite a lot. And it was quite a journey into the walk we were on had been eroded by water, and it was a bit muddy because it's been raining here quite a bit, and I'm sure Joshua thought, where is Mum taking me? This isn't an easy walk. He had to carry little Isla, who's 2.5, you know. But it was the most beautiful day, and the birds were singing. It was just a perfect, perfect day. This time of year in Sydney can be beautiful if it's sunny, because it's not too hot, not too cold, no mosquitoes, no flies. You know, you have to worry about those things. And we ended up at this creek, and we just, the creek was bubbling, and it's the creek had sand in the bottom, and it was crystal clear, but it was only so shallow. And little Isla, we took all her clothes off. She's only 2 and a half. And Joshua forgot his swimmers. And we just let her, you know, jump in the creek. And for a while I asked Joshua I wanted to video this creek to make a meditation video. So Joshua went up the creek away, and he was videoing for me. And I just spent 10 minutes with Isla. There she was in the water picking up rocks, and she would throw the rock in the water, and just the most delightful giggle. I wish I had it on video. It just the most joyful expression. And there we were in this little creek that was pristine and not a sound of the world going on around us. We were just in this little kind of cocoon of nature. And I remember thinking, it took me a couple of days, but a couple of days later I thought that joy was just overwhelming. I just could feel the joy she was having. And thought, I wonder where that joy is in my life. What are the rocks that I pick up just for the sake of it and let them splash and feel how that feels? And I thought, I'm gonna draw that. I'm gonna, you know, kind of experience that again by just feeling what that feels like, and then thinking, what is that in my life? Where do I find that in my life? And to me, that's what, you know, finding creative expression is about, finding the metaphor in our life. And it's, you know, God is speaking all around us, and we kind of we're sort of rushing on the highway through life. So art is sort of, art in creative expression is about getting off the highway and, you know, taking the road less traveled and going a bit slower and just noticing what's around, noticing the details.
So what I hear in this description is that you're asking us to be more aware, to really practice awareness, and then find ways to find ways to express it that have meaning.
Yes,
for us,
and honor your own inner wisdom, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And your own connection.
And your own connection.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, one of my teachers says, there is always a message of love. And so, you know, whatever circumstances we're in, whatever symptom we have, there's always a message of love. And I think that fits quite well with Creative Community of Christ theology. You know, in a sense, it's not that, oh, gosh, you know, God has made this terrible situation with the coronavirus. It's, can I find the message of love within the circumstances of my life?
So that is the reality that we are in as we record this episode, Anne. And so one of the things I was hoping we could talk about is, what are some experiments, if you will, in art and spirituality that folks who are at home, who are sheltering in place or staying in, that they might engage in, either people who live alone or adult people or even families with children? What are some things that they could do at home that might help them experience a little bit of what you're talking about?
Okay. I thought a bit about this in terms of, you know, hopefully the audience that I kind of understand who I'm talking to. And one of the things that we often will do when we come together, and if I was having a therapy session with someone, the first thing I would do is to spend a bit of time in meditation and just quiet, you know, creating a quiet space. So however you do that is kind of, you know, the first part of the process is and gathering art materials or things around you that you can that you enjoy using, you know, that you respond very nicely to. But I was thinking how maybe you could listen to some uplifting music. And, you know, one of my favourite hymns in the Community of Christ hymnal is that hymn, "O God We Call." O God We Call. From deep inside we yearn, from deep inside we yearn, from deep inside we yearn for you. And imagine singing that in the first person, you know, "Oh God, I call. Oh God, I call. Oh God, I call for you. You know, from deep inside I yearn." And then, you know, allowing that song just to really wash over you, and then allow then whatever comes from an expression of that. What is that yearning, you know? Trying to feel into that and just be playful about that, and not or you might have some clay, you might have a bit of clay, or you might sculpt that. What is that yearning? What is it that connection, that calling? How does that express in your life? And then you might journal about that and see what emerges. But one of the things is, you know, it's not about, even though I have been an artist all my life, when I took on this process of, you know, the idea of using the art as an expression and as a therapy and as a connection to spirit, I put aside all my ideas of what good art is, or I put aside my judgment of, you know, all the things I learned at art school about line and colour, and I just allow whatever comes, like a child, you know, would get out, like you watch a child get out paints, like I love throwing rocks in the water. It's just allowing that whatever comes, you know, that expression, because it's the expression and the connection to that spirit, and it's, you know, kind of, so it's a bit like a process of lecto divina, but instead of responding in words, you can respond using art as a way of connecting and deep listening to what God has to say in your life. So that's one thing. And I was thinking, I've got a poem which I can read, which
please
I thought
do.
Would be kind of cool. It's only a short little poem. And it's along a similar line. And this poem's called Breath. It's by Christine Walters Paintner, and it's called Breath. "This breathing in is a miracle. This breathing out, release. This breathing in, a welcome to the unseen gifts which sustain me each moment. This breathing out, a sweet sigh. A bow to my mortality. This breathing in, a holy yes to life. This breathing out, a sacred no to all that causes me to clench and gasp. This breathing in is a revelation. This breathing out, freedom." So
that's lovely.
Yeah. So like doing lecto divina, or, you know, deep listening to a passage of scripture, you can read a poem or listen to that poem a few times and notice what stands out for you. And then with your art materials prepared already, you can draw or make a collage in response to that. Whatever comes up, playfully, non-judgmentally, and remembering it's not about the finished artwork at all. You know, it's about what insights, what wisdom, what deepest spiritual truths come to you in that process, and what comfort perhaps comes in that process, and being aware, and like you said, the deep awareness of your own emotion and spiritual connection. I thought of, you know, with children, there's a gentleman, have you ever heard of Mark Stanton Welch? He uses, he uses the song like mantra, you know, and mantra about sort of giving our mind focus. So he would use song in that way. And one of the songs that that I just love so much of his, and taught it to people here in Australia, and it was a song that goes like this: I am that I am, child of God I am, full of love, full of light, full of peace am I. And imagine, you know, teaching that to children and getting them to close their eyes and just imagine what that feels like and what that looks like. What does it look like being full of love and full of light? And full of peace, and have them draw that, you know, have them sing that and close their eyes and feel into that, and then have them draw that. Or you can have children imagine their superheroes and have them and think about, and they've got powers to heal the world. And what would their name be? And what would their powers be? And have them draw that and have them find ways to explore that and help them to see that maybe they have some of those powers already hidden within them. So there's a couple of things, you know. So, you know, last year doing the Australia Herald, we in one of the editions we asked people to send images of their sacred space. And overwhelmingly they sent pictures of nature and, you know, helping children to just, I don't know, like for us here we're still allowed to go into the bush, maybe. We've been told the beaches are banned because too many people were kind of having fun at the beaches. But sometimes, you know, we're allowed to walk our neighbourhood and, you know, allowing children perhaps to have that time and to maybe, you know, explore nature and looking at leaves and exploring tadpoles or dancing in the rain or, you know, those sorts of things help children explore and connect with the spirit, connect with their spirituality. So I think nature, connecting with nature is, you know, one of the most important ways to help children understand their connection to God.
Yeah, even so, in this time of pandemic, if it's even simply going out and sitting in the grass.
Yes, listening to the birds. And you have such wonderful bird sounds in America. And watching the squirrels and, you know, just really looking at the grass, the colours. How many colours can you find, you know? Can you find the all the colours of the rainbow all around you, and exploring the wonder of, you know, teaching kids to wonder. To me, you know, whether it is using a piece of clay or sitting on a rock quietly listening to birdsong, you know, giving them those places to connect to their spirit and you know, helping them to understand that feeling the breeze, you know, there's so much symbolism and metaphor all around them, the strength in rocks and how trees bend with the breeze, how trees connect with deep roots, and what are those that you can get them to draw trees and as adults we can draw a tree. And where what are those things that connect us to strengthen us? What are those spiritual connections that form deep roots in our lives? That, and what are the branches? Where are the birds in our branches singing? And draw that and then think about it and explore that. What nourishes us? What gives us nourishment? You know? Yeah. So.
And I've been sitting at my computer now all of 2 weeks, and you're making me want to get out all my markers and all of my pens and begin just hearing the excitement in your voice as you share this, and knowing how passionate you are not just about art and about your art, but about how God works in our lives through all different avenues.
Yes.
And I have heard you share about your wanting people to just liberate themselves and be able to enjoy.
Yes. I mean, you know, that we have that deep yearning within, and God has that deep yearning for us too, to connect. And we're on this sort of, you know, highway, you know. It's like, take a minute, you know, take a minute to breathe. And if anything, when Peter passed away, that's, you know, his deep grieving taught me that life is so precious, and to really take time to value that, value every moment, you know. And art can take you there, can take you to like I said, can be the hands just holding for a moment the water, holding the intangible, the mystery. Art can be that sort of a vessel. Yeah, you can create out of clay. You can create a vessel that holds your intentions, and then write your intentions and put them in there. A beautiful symbol. Yeah. I talked in the last Australia Herald how my little granddaughter loved opening and shutting doors, and in my house. And we would play this little game, and she'd go into the kitchen and shut the door, and then she'd knock on the door, and then her mother came over and said, "Oh, Isla, stop. Playing with the door, you know." And I realized how Isla and I played with that door all the time. It was one of the things we enjoyed doing, you know, just this sense of different realities, I guess, or different spaces. Mm-hmm. And it was a safe door. It shut quite, the lock was right at her height, so she could go in and out. You know, a lot of doors are, the doorknobs are really high for kids. They can't, this was an old door, and she could go in and out of it. I was sharing that with my classmates, and we had to practice with my, who was studying counselling, we had to practice counselling with each other. And I was talking about moving forward in my life, and how was I going to create this practice of being an art therapist, and how that was going to work with my job and with all the other things that I'm doing. And I kind of was expressing a bit of anxiety or fear around, you know, moving forward into being an art therapist. And my girlfriend said to me, "So you let your granddaughter go in and out of doors, but you're too afraid to let yourself have the enjoyment of that." So just putting that in a metaphoric way, just opened up so much of understanding about my own life, my own sense of meaning in my own life there. So, you know, that awareness around this, God is speaking to us all the time in every way if we're open to listen. And to me that was kind of, it's a really wonderful thing. And yes, I can step forward out of joy. It doesn't have to be moving forward out of anxiety. There can be really interesting things in the future, you know, that change can be joyful, and to look for the joy in that rather than look at even in church settings, you know. And I extrapolated that out to my congregation, you know. What joy is waiting for us if we move in different ways, if we explore and take risks? And, you know, I think in this day and age we're kind of cocooning ourselves, but Where are the doorways that we can open up in our own lives that just involve us sitting and praying and lighting a candle and being present and taking some paints out and exploring music and song and poetry and all those things. Dance even.
So yeah. In your own journey, mm-hmm. You've been an artist all your life. Mm-hmm. You engage in spiritual practices, and you've learned that those are intertwined in your own life. Yeah. What has been most meaningful to you in this journey with both art and spirit, if you will?
The deep connection that we can have with God and each other, and that they are one and the same in some ways, because the deeper I can experience God and the deeper I can connect to you, they influence it. It's almost the same thing, you know, that God is in the relationship. So that's been really meaningful to me, and I guess the importance of being intentional, you know, and giving places for people, creating spaces for people to be intentional and to access their own inner wisdom. It's really just recently in this new class, you know, there are people from so many different perspectives, who come from so many different perspectives. There are Indigenous people there. There are people from other cultures. And to come into a group that is quite diverse and yet to be able to express things that are so deep and meaningful helps us in life create community. And I think, so to me, that's really exciting, to create those spaces for people to be able to understand themselves better. So probably one of the most meaningful things in my recent study is that I didn't realize that I would gain so much more of an appreciation of nature. And I didn't realize that the study of art would take me further in my understanding of God and my my place in this world. So I guess that's very meaningful to me, that deeper sense of awareness. You know, years ago I started studying meditation, or I started because I wanted to be more intentional and be more aware, kind of be more awake in my own life. And this process has taken me also down that, you know, that same kind of journey about being awake. So, you know, the Aboriginals have, when they draw, the Indigenous Australians, when they will draw carvings on our rock, and often they'll draw carvings of human figures, but they won't have a mouth. They have ears but no mouth. And their sense of spirituality is about listening. And so, you know, this deep listening, to me that's been the most meaningful thing, learning how to listen. Deeply.
So you were lovely enough to host me in your home for a few days, and while I was there you shared some different resources with me about some of the different topics that we were able to talk about. So are there any resources that you could recommend to our listeners who are interested in exploring their spirituality through art?
Well, you know, one of the people who's been most influential is in my exploration of art has been Christine Walters-Paintner. And she has quite a few books about art and spirituality from a kind of Celtic perspective, you know, the idea that God is everywhere and in everything. And so she has some wonderful books that Christians would be really easily able to engage in, talking about Lecta Divina, or, you know, she has some wonderful ways of writing poetry or exploring things. So I would really recommend, she's written some wonderful theses about that. So any of her works are incredibly inspirational. The work of John O'Donohue, I don't know if you know. Well, he wrote a wonderful book about beauty, and his book on beauty is just amazing. He talks about colour, and he talks about different colours and his emotional response to those. His book is incredible. So it also is a wonderful book to take you into a deeper awareness of nature and life and God's expression all around us. Do you know the poems by David White, W-H-Y-T-E? Do you know his work? Well, he's amazing. Yeah, he's amazing. And then if a book that's maybe more an art therapist kind of book is a book by Sean McNaff, and he writes about art as medicine and art, or art heals, how creativity cures the soul. So it's not necessarily from a Christian perspective, but it's really interesting to understand from a more, maybe more clinical perspective about the importance of art and how it can be useful for all of us, not just, people who are struggling with deep emotional wounds. The other person who has really influenced me is Johnny Baker, and he's a theologian in England, kind of connected with the emerging faith movement in the UK. I don't know if I talked to you about him. He wrote, I could give you the his website, but he created labyrinths, and did his whole thesis about labyrinths and the importance of ritual. And he made the most amazing labyrinth, which I created a couple of times for our church. And it's quite a modern, and he very much has influenced my theology, but he's an artist and a creative. So he's a wonderful way to kind of connect art and spirituality and his thesis about postmodernism what is an expression of worship and what worship is really influenced what the types of things that I will do at church and create at church, you know, the environments about, you know, the idea that creating a space, curating a space. So creating an environment for people to explore and find their own meaning. That's been very influential in my life and how I approach worships, you know, so that people can take out of things what they need. Yeah, so that's kind of cool. And then two other people who I love so much at the moment is I've just been exploring Jan Richardson. Have you heard of her? She's amazing, amazing, amazing. And there's another guy who lives in Australia called Joel McKerro, and McKerrow, and his videos are incredible, and he recites his poetry. So it's, again, you know, poets have been, so the works of Christine Baldur's Paintner will take you into some practices and things. They're more very practical kind of, some of the books have some very practical exercises, but some of these other people are very much about, you know, poetry that you could explore art through, read a poem or meditate on a poem or from some of these people, and then explore that in a creative process. It could be really interesting. Yeah.
So some of the things you've talked about, Anne, you put into your work with the Australia Herald. So I'd like to, before we close today, can you just share a little bit about your work with the Australia Herald?
Okay. So I've been designing that for about a year and a half, and we just we had a vision to make our Australian publication more inclusive, and so we just thought what would be the ideal, and we threw everything up in the air, and we wanted to say, what could we create that's more missional? Can we come from a perspective can we create something that I could share with my friends, that I could share with my neighbour, that something that anyone would be proud to have on their coffee table, you know, that they could pick it up every now and then and just read it, and they would be stories that would be helpful to anyone, not just if you were in the community of Christ. So we looked at it from that angle, and the old publication was printed in black and white, and we're lucky now to print it in colour. And, you know, we've tried to include more Australian content, but we do use some of the stories from the US Herald that we think are relevant to people here. And we've created kind of four categories. Different people look for different things in publications. And so we've got four categories. One is think, which is thoughtful articles to make you, you know, stretch your mind. So they're, you know, for people who really want to go a bit deeper in their theology or you know, explore concepts a bit deeper. But then we have stories that are about living with compassion and following Christ's mission that are a bit more heart-based. So they're called love. Those stories we categorize under love. Then we have stories that we categorize or articles that we categorize under prayer, which is about putting our spirituality in practice. So they're kind of practical things. And Katie Harmon McLaughlin, you know, some of her stories from the US Herald translate so well into those categories that we will use under there, because they're very practical things. You know, she gives us lots of spiritual formation practices that we can continue in there. And then we have the fourth category, which is live, which is about living more consciously and how we treat the world and our communities, and living as if life is sacred. And so they're very kind of practical ways that we might approach our life. And we'll often have a kids article in there or something to kind of help parents to explain concepts to children or things that parents might be going through, and help them kind of make sense of how to explain difficult concepts to kids. Might be Easter or Christmas, or, you know, how can we explain those concepts to our children and help them explore those things. So each month we choose a different theme, and so that each edition kind of has a unity to it. And then we kind of gather, we try and gather stories around that theme. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we have a theme and the stories, and we kind of go on a different journey and we end up somewhere different than where we started. And I'm always amazed how each edition, you know, it's like giving birth to a little baby, because each edition sort of writes itself, you know. We kind of, it creates a bit of, we end up with a bit of unity. And so I'm very interested to kind of allow the Spirit to breathe through each edition. You know, what is God wanting to say to us through this? And I'm very mindful of that. So, but I guess, you know, being the artist and creating it, I'm not sure some of the older people in our congregations kind of understand it, but I mentioned Johnny Baker before, and he influenced me a great deal in how the publication looks, because he, in his thesis, he speaks about the enculturation of in a postmodern world, and how to, you know, make faith relevant in our community and in our culture. So he uses everyday symbols or everyday music, things that happen every day, to kind of draw us into connection to God, rather than thinking we have to just use, you know, a heart to symbolize something or a cross. You know, it may be shoes, it may be feet on a roadway. You know, it doesn't have to be a picturesque pathway. It might just be simply something that's right in front of me. It could be a cup. You know, that using those everyday things and bringing God, brings God then into the everyday, not just. So when you look at the publication, they might have everyday images, but then maybe it helps people to realize, well, God is in my everyday too. It's God isn't just out there on a cross. You know, the love that Christ had on that cross is also with me now, can be where I am. So using So that's quite different, perhaps, from what we've done in the past in terms of how visually we've represented a Christian publication. Because I'm hoping to, again, it's about awareness and helping people to see signposts and experiencing God in their journey and in their everyday. I don't know if that's how people experience it, but that's what I'm trying to bring to life. Yeah.
So I was able to look at several volumes, several editions of the Australia Herald, and the artwork is as you describe it. It is the use of symbol and metaphor to help us reimagine the Spirit working with us and to reimagine our participation in mission. And they're visually, each one is a visual treasure. They're just really lovely in both the written content and the visual content and the balance of how it is presented. So I wanted to share with our listeners that if you'd like to know more about the Australia Herald, you can read the content of it, or you can contact Anne through the Australia Mission Center website, cofchrist.com.au. And to see Anne's design work, you can Google Australia Herald by Anne Bonifin. And you can browse a full color issue using the issue.com link, and that's spelled ISSUU.
Oh, no. Actually, we have, sorry to interrupt.
Nope.
You.
Go ahead.
We published it in Flipsnacks, and so all the editions are free for anybody to look at.
Yes, and this is free as well.
Oh,
Just Google it. Yeah, if you can just Google it. So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And you can browse a full color issue using the issue.com link, ISSUU.com. And I'm pretty sure that you, through the Australia Herald on the website, you scroll down to the bottom where it is, the contact information and staff information and the Australia Herald information is down there.
I think if anybody wanted to, we would be more than happy for people to subscribe. And so I think if anyone went to inquiries@seaofchrist.com.au, we could sign them up and they could receive one every month. So and they could see all the back copies as well. So
now there's an excellent invitation.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're happy to increase our membership. I know there's, I think we do have a look and every month, I think there's at least 10 people in the US and several in Canada and the UK and other places. So, yes, we're happy to increase our readership because, as I said, we've tried to be very inclusive in the publication. So.
And it shows. So, Anne, we've come to the end of our time together. Is there any last thing you'd like to share with our listeners before we come to a close?
I just want to say that to be open to the message of love that's always in our life, whatever the circumstances are, whatever, they're going through, there's always a message of love and to be open to exploring that.
Thank you, Anne Bonifin, for being our guest today on Project Zion. If you, again, would like to contact Anne, you can do so through the Australia Mission Center website, which you can find on cofchrist.org. I'm Karen Peter. This has been our episode on art and spirituality. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.